Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Amen. Okay. So this summer, we are talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Of the Spirit. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Mike talked about love. Last week, Pastor Mel talked about joy. And today, I will be talking about the third gift of the Holy Spirit, the third fruit of the Holy Spirit. So about a couple months ago, me and a couple of people with Pastor Mike, we were leaving Gustavo's, and Pastor Mike was telling us that this summer Covenant was going to do a summer series about the fruit of the Spirit. All of a sudden, he turns to me and says, "Okay, which fruit are you preaching on?" So that was his way of telling me I was going to preach this summer. So thank you, Pastor Mike, for letting me preach. So without hesitation or doubt, I knew that I wanted to talk about peace. Shalom, peace, paz. When I was little, my dad would make his congregation greet each other with "La paz sea con vosotros," which means "peace be with you." And that's what I titled this sermon. If you could please join me in prayer. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for sending your only Son, Jesus, to die for me, for us. Thank you, my sweet Savior, for your forgiveness and for your grace. Father, I come to you humbled and thankful. I pray, Lord, that this morning your people do not see Cindy, but that they see you. That they do not hear Cindy, but that they hear you. Holy Spirit, take control. I am yielding to you. It's all about you, my Father. All about you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you, O Lord, my rock, my love, and my redeemer. Amen. So there are three people in the Bible that I relate to the most. There is Peter. Just like him, I do tend to have a little bit of a temper. There is Moses. Just like him, I also doubted that God would use me because of my speech. And David. David, the one who passionately loved God. You could see in his Psalms how much he loved him, how much he admired him. His heart was all about God. Most of my prayers, when I don't know what to say, come from Psalms. And today I will be talking about David. Today I'm going to take you back to the time where David committed a sin. So David, one day, he was walking and he sees a woman bathing. Her name was Bathsheba. Bathsheba was married, but he saw her, he lusted over her, he lay with her, and he got her pregnant. To make matters worse, David caught Bathsheba's husband, ordered him to be in front of the line of the battle so that he could be killed. Once he died, Bathsheba mourned, and David married Bathsheba, and she got pregnant. Thinking that nobody was going to find out, David continued his ministry as being king. But God knows everything. He knows everything now, and even back then, he knew everything. So there was a prophet named Nathan. So he told Nathan what had happened, and he told Nathan to go and confront David. So I am going to ask you to open your Bibles, or to open the bulletins, to our scripture of today. It's found in 2 Samuel, chapter 12, and I'm going to read to you verses 1 to 13. And the word of the Lord goes like this. The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, "There were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now, a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if all this had been too little, I would have given you even more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed with the sword of the Ammonites. Now therefore, the sword will never depart from your house, because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. This is what the Lord says. Out of your own household, I am going to bring calamity upon you. Before your very eyes, I will take your wives and give them to one who is close to you, and he will lie with your wives in broad daylight. You did it in secret, but I will do this thing in broad daylight before all Israel." Then David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." Nathan replied, "The Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die." This is the word of God for the people of God. Knowing how much David loved God, I know that he was in turmoil. And I can guarantee you that he did not have peace. You see, the enemy uses our regrets, our mistakes, no matter how big or small, our past, even worries, to take away our peace. He does that by making it bigger than what it really is, telling us that we are done. God will not forgive us. We really screwed up this time. There's no hope. And that indeed steals our peace. Yesterday, I met with Megan, and we talked about this. She said that there's something about being honest and telling and letting that has been bothering us out, sharing it, telling people. I'm not saying to put it on Facebook or put it on a skyscraper admitting to your sin. But what I'm saying is finding someone, a partner, a prayer partner, your spouse, and being honest with that person so that thing that has been bothering you will no longer be just yours. You see, when you keep all those mistakes, regrets, and even shame to yourself, the enemy takes that little seed and feeds it. It feeds it with more lies. And if you allow him, you allow that seed to be watered and to be grown into something that is able to control you. This past week, as Pastor Mike said, we went to the annual conference, and it was amazing. And I know a lot of people that went did not leave the same. They left blessed and I left pumped. I left so excited knowing that the Holy Spirit was there and that he didn't stay there. He came with me. He is with me. So for Tuesday and Wednesday, we had a speaker named Lisa, and she was talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. She mentioned something pretty cool that I still remember. She said, "We have the power of the Holy Spirit in order for a so that can occur." So we have the power and the fruit of the Holy Spirit so that we can have peace. She also asked us to talk about our partner, about what breaks our heart. Mary was there, and we talked about it, and I shared that something that breaks my heart, and it's close to home, is when people do not have peace. When people listen to the lies of the enemy. That not only breaks my heart, it gets me angry. Not with you guys, with the enemy. It gets me frustrated. How dare he? How dare he mess with God's children? And I thought about it, and then I remember that when I was young, until now, until not too long ago, I longed for peace. And it was weird because I was born a Christian. You know, my dad was a pastor. I grew up in the church, and I knew that Jesus was the Prince of Peace. But I did not have peace, and I longed for it so badly. I looked for it in other places. And sometimes, as life goes on, the enemy taunts me and attacks me and says, you know what, Cindy? You've done this, you've done that. That's where you belong. That's who you are. And I have to be honest with you, I do argue with God sometimes. And my argument with him, I mean, I do apologize after because he is always right. But I say, God, what the enemy is telling me, it's true. All the things that he is saying that I've done, it's true. I have committed those sins. I do deserve the shame. But through someone special, God told me, I already forgave you. In fact, I don't even remember. And brothers and sisters, I had the peace that surpasses all understanding. Because God reminded me that I am His. And even this past Monday, as I was celebrating that I was a local pastor, for some it might not be a big deal, but for me, I was ecstatic. It was like the best day ever. And I was still being attacked. I was still being reminded of things that I have done. And I prayed. I said, God, here we go again. The enemy's bugging me. I am your daughter. You're my heavenly daddy. Take control. And as I was worshiping, I remember that he told me, you have my attention. I see you. You're mine. You're my beloved. And then I was able to enjoy the conference. So yesterday, I went to a baseball game where Pastor Mike and Mr. David Withrow Jr., they both coach, and I really don't know a lot about baseball. And when I go, I usually sit with Miss Kim. And when Miss Kim cheers, I cheer. When she gets frustrated, I get frustrated, which it's not too often that happens. But yesterday, as I was watching, someone from Pastor Mike's team got hurt. A little boy got hurt. And the coaches ran towards him. And they just started to make sure that he was okay. What amazed me was the opposite team, all of a sudden, they got on one knee. And I even took a picture because I was so amazed. I had no idea what was happening. I was like, oh, is it over? But they just got on their knees. And then I took a picture. I left. And as I was finishing my sermon, I asked, God, how can I implement this in your sermon? What do you want me to say about this? And with his tender voice and the fact that he is very present with me, the Holy Spirit told me, Cindy, the little boy that got hurt is your soul. And I am the coach that's running towards that little boy to heal your wound. And the boys that are kneeling, that's the self. Yielding to me as I, your Lord, finishes the healing process in your life. Isn't God amazing? I was like, oh dear Lord, can't wait to tell the people. I was so excited that he told me that. And, you know, and I'm guilty of that. And you could admit to it later or by yourselves. I feel like I have to help God. You know, I feel like I have, like, he needs help. You know, I know more about myself than he does. And he told me to tell you this because I know that some of you do want to help God and you guys just don't want him to do it all by himself and you don't want him to heal your heart by himself. But this is what God told me to tell you. Stop it. Stop. He has this. He is able to heal you. You just have to yield and you have to surrender whatever it is that is coming between you and God and that is taking away your peace. You have the power. You deserve that peace. Well, you don't deserve it, but thanks to Jesus, it's yours. Take it. It's a gift. Going back to the word of God, after Nathan left, David was distraught. You know, a man that loved God, knowing that he had hurt the love of his life, he wrote Psalm 51. And to this day, well, this season in my life, that is my favorite verse. It might change in the future, but for right now, Psalm 51 is my favorite verse. And I will read it to you, but I want to tell you, the thing that made David strong was not only his faith, but the fact that he worshiped. Though we do hear and read in the Psalms that he says, woe is me. But he didn't just say, woe is me, and just stayed there and felt pity for himself. He worshiped. He praised the Lord, even in the middle of his storm, in the middle of his shame. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to be honest with you. There has been times where I have come to this church, sat right there, or after teaching your wonderful kids, there has been times that I go home and I say, God, I do not deserve you. I do not deserve to be here. But I am embraced by him, by the Holy Spirit. And I am overcome with this peace. I am here by myself and I have peace. I am able to turn off the music at night and just go to sleep. I don't need any background music because I have peace. All thanks to God. So let me read to you Psalms 51. And the word of the Lord goes like this. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desire faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. I love this part. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God. You who are God, my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice. Did you hear that? God does not delight in your sacrifice. You don't have to work for his love. You do not have to work for his peace. Do you understand? You do not have to work for his peace. And it goes on. Or I would bring it. David said, if I need to sacrifice, I would bring the sacrifice. But you do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, oh God, is a broken spirit. I've been broken. Oh yeah. A broken and contrite heart to you, God, will not despise. May it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of the righteous and burnt offerings offered whole. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. Brothers and sisters, God is not mad at you. God is not disappointed. He will not turn his back on you. He is a faithful and loving God. Just like he forgave David, he will and has forgiven you. All David had to do was ask for forgiveness, and it was given to him. Today, as we celebrate Father's Day, and I do want to wish everyone, all fathers, a very happy Father's Day. But let us celebrate our Heavenly Daddy. And there's no better gift that we could give him today than to surrender all that is taking away peace from us. Surrendering it to him. Now, I do want to say, and I added this last night before I went to bed, I felt that the Holy Spirit wanted some of you guys to know. You might be saying, Cindy, I know that I've been forgiven. I already gave all my shame to God. I read my Bible. I come to church. I talk to God. I have a relationship with him. And I know that it is all about grace. I am aware of that. But I still do not have peace. Why? I'm not going to pretend that I know the answer to that. Because I really don't. But I do know this. A prayer that is not answered is the one that is not made. If you want an answer, you have to pray about it. Because it's you and God. Not me, you and God. It's you and God. So I am going to ask you as well, everyone, if you're feeling in your spirit that you have to surrender or that you don't know why you don't have peace, ask God, and I guarantee you that he will answer, that he will give you peace. So, brothers and sisters, today, the altar is open for you. Come and surrender whatever is taking away your peace and give it to God. He is waiting for you. You're welcome.